Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Texas says Limp Bizkit breaks something country version. Done.
And James Strebel.
That's a great idea.
Jack,
that's
you don't know what text. That is. We need to have you watch that during the break. But if you don't mind, write that down.
Limp Bizkit breaks stuff.
That's what I need.
Great stuff.
Limp Bizkit breaks stuff.
Yep.
I'm going to break your bleeping face tonight. Give me something to break.
I got a chainsaw. I'll skin your bleep raw.
Yeah.
One of the dumbest lyrics ever written by a human being, by the way.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Nice!
There you go, Jack. Yeah!
I like that. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Gus Edwards is out. Not happy about that.
Ennis is very
not
upset.
Happy about... Ennis is not happy.
Yeah, Ennis is upset. It needs to be known.
All right, we're at Evergreen Liquors Middletown hanging out with you. We're a minute or two late because me and Strebel were looking at things.
Yeah.
Strebel's going to buy a lot of things so he can drink deep into the night on Saturday after Kentucky loses to Missouri.
Well, yeah.
And so we'll talk about that, I'm sure, coming up here. And the Tailspin Ale Fest pre-sale ongoing now. I'm not sure how many pre-sales. I need to look at the one sheeter they gave me here and read that here. Why don't you memorize that?
Sure,
I'm kidding.
Will.
I'm kidding. It's going on right now. Started at 4 o'clock.
All right.
And it's coming up on October 30th at Bowman Field. And so we cannot wait to be out there as well.
Look at that VIP ticket there. You get a little
VIP ticket.
Hour early entrance, a little food voucher.
Why don't you be the DD?
Hey,
how about that?
I don't want to do
you
that.
You get your wife one?
What fun is that? You know? What fun is that? We want to go out there and just look at beer.
It was you and your buddy Matt last time?
Yeah, good memory, yes.
Yeah,
my buddy
there you
Matt.
Go.
Yes, we had a blast. We had a
Did
really
you really?
Good time. Absolutely, yeah.
All right, well, let's get you ready for the weekend. Louisville, Kentucky, and I guess Indiana. Let's get it going. It's the Blitz on this Thursday. All right, let's go. Ty Spalding joins us. That is who joins us, right, Jack? I'm sorry. I could not hear anything you said in my ear. With the U of L Rivals Network, CardinalSports.com. Ty, good afternoon, sir.
What's going on, Andy James?
Oh, we are making it. We're sitting around a bunch of alcohol, and Strebel loves that. So that's where we are on this Thursday. Let's go back before we go forward. I guess, were you shocked on Monday? What was your reaction as you were watching Louisville be dominated for 60 minutes?
My first reaction was, how dumb am I for believing and buying everything this coaching staff was selling all summer long and all fall camp. I mean, first of all, Jack McNeil saying this may be the best offensive line he's ever coached. You know, I understand being confident, but there's a difference between being confident and saying outlandish things like that. And looking back, I got to put my hand up and say I fell for it. I bought into it. And through one game, you know, I look dumb, as most do, for drinking that Kool-Aid that the coaching staff was preaching all summer.
What do you feel we are all overreacting about, and what do you feel is a big problem that we've been wrong about and it's kind of an uh-oh before the season?
I think the defense, specifically the defensive line, I think that will be ironed out. I think, you know, I don't think it's going to be, you know, where you don't have a defensive end to get pressure one time on the quarterback. I don't think that's going to continue. But what I am worried about is the play calling and the lack of in-game adjustments. I just can't grasp how it took a whole half for Malik and the offensive coaching staff to adjust what Ole Miss was doing on defense. You know, I know they said that it's a look that they didn't see on tape. Well, that's good, but it shouldn't take two quarters to make some adjustments. So the play calling, the running on second and long, and the lack of in-game adjustments, I'm very, very worried about those two things moving forward.
How much do you buy into the narrative, hey, we played better in the second half, which is true, but we know where the game was in the second half. And like you said, Ty, it took, you know, two quarters to get to the second half before adjustments seemingly were made. Are you buying that at all, especially knowing EKU, they're going to win probably, and they're going to win big?
I'm not buying that whatsoever. And one of the things that makes me the most mad with Satterfield is he did the same thing last year. Every game last year, we had a chance to win. We were right there at the end of the game. That's all you can ask for. I don't want to hear that after you lose a game. And then on Monday night, he's saying, you know, the second half, we did some good things. I don't want to hear that from my coach. I'd rather hear my coach say that was unacceptable. You know, me and the staff are heading to the complex. As soon as we get back, we're hitting the drawing boards and we're going to get this fixed. I don't want to hear about the accomplishments in the second half when the game was out of hand and Ole Miss seemingly, you know, took their foot off the gas. So to answer your question, I do not like that answer that he repeatedly gave on Monday and this week, and then the same answer that he gave last year. Oh, well, we had a chance to win. That's not good enough.
Yeah, no, I think we feel the same, quite frankly, about what you're looking at right now with the team. It is one game, and they're going to be 1-1 come Saturday night. What are you looking for on Saturday, knowing that it's EKU, it's an inferior opponent, and everything else? Kentucky used that to propel, get some confidence last week. Louisville needs to do it this week, whether it be running backs, wide receivers. What sorts of things are you going to be checking in on?
I'm really, really intrigued by the wide receiver group. And, you know, I couldn't really see from TV, you know, what was going on the back end of the Ole Miss defense. But even when Malik did have time, it felt like nobody was getting open. And I don't know if that's on Gunnar Brewer for the route combinations that were getting dialed up, or if that's on Satterfield. But even when Malik did have time, nobody was getting open. And if they were open, he sure as hell wasn't finding them. So I don't know if moving forward, if there's going to be a guy that steps up, or it's just going to be who's playing well tonight, that's who we're going to roll with. Because, you know, towards the end of the game, Josh Johnson, a guy who was third on the depth chart, you know, he led the team in catches. So the wide receiver group is one thing that I'm really looking forward to and watching on Saturday. You know, can they get open, one, and two, who's going to step up?
Ty Spalding with us. One more before we move on to Kentucky. Dino Gaudio, some further tapes yesterday. And my summation was, hey, Dino Gaudio, when he was met with somebody else, in this case Josh Hurd and others there at U of L, he sounded like a puppy dog. He did not sound like the big bad guy that was going to take on Chris Mack and do the extortion and everything else. And for me, it just put another light of how bad this looks on Chris Mack, because I think if you have the proper people in the room, we don't get this far. I know we've talked about that even last week, but I guess new information, new tapes, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I think a lot of people initially, when they hear that, they're going to immediately go, see, you know, look how bad of a guy Dino is. But when you look into it a little bit deeper, it does make you wonder how this would have gone had Chris Mack just followed protocol. It was clear that Dino wanted nothing to do with anybody higher up at U of L. He quivered into a corner, and it does make you wonder, you know, what would the narrative be right now had none of this escalated or gone public? You know, Mack would seemingly, you know, have some momentum behind him heading into the season. You know, there were some positive things coming out of the program until this all went down. So all I can really think about after hearing the new sound is, you know, what if? You know, what if he had just done the right thing? We'd be in a whole different situation right now.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way in that further that how much of a wimpy puppy dog your boy Dino Gaudio sounded like. Ty Spalding, CardinalSports.com, U of L Rivals, at Ty Spalding there on Twitter. Ty, appreciate the time,
Kentucky.
Man.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Not Ty.
Oh, while, Jack's going to be horrified.
He is.
I want to see his beautiful face. Let's go to Kentucky. Big game this weekend. Thank you. We are going to Kentucky. Mark Story joins us there from the Lexington Herald. Leader at Mark C. Story. If you want to follow him there, Mark, good afternoon, sir.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, if you didn't hear from our sounder, we were going to Kentucky, whether we wanted to or not, Mark. We were gonna talk some Kentucky-Missouri football with you. You have made a mighty prediction for the mighty Missouri game. Tell the people what it is and how you got there with this game.
Well, I have picked Kentucky in a close one. I think I picked 35-30.
Yep.
I think Kentucky will be motivated. I think they're embarrassed by how they played last year in Columbia. Missouri clearly played with more urgency. Missouri was trying to break a five-game losing streak against Kentucky, and clearly, just they wanted the game more. I mean, I don't think you can even debate that. And there were some extenuating circumstances for UK. It was the first game they played without John Schlarman. He was just too ill to go, and I think people understood what that meant. So that was part of it, but the fact of the matter was there was a game, and Missouri played with a whole lot of urgency and Kentucky didn't. So I think that probably sets UK up. I think you'll see a very motivated team Saturday night, and it's going to be interesting to see the new offense against a more or less an equivalent opponent after having seen it look very good, but also against a very undermanned opponent.
How difficult, I don't know, you guys in the media, I mean, we know what fans are saying. The difficulty around here has been, how much do you overreact to U of L? How much are we overreacting to Kentucky? What I said, Mark, was that Saturday energized Kentucky football, being able to throw the football. Even though it was against ULM, Wandell Robinson looks like a stud. J.J. Weaver was on the field a lot more than I thought he was going to be. There were some positive things, but it's difficult to not overreact. Have you found yourself trying to do that? You've seen a lot of Kentucky football over the years.
Yeah, I think you're somewhat grading on a curve with anything you say about Kentucky. You have to then say they were playing arguably the worst team in the football bowl subdivision. I mean, you have to factor that in. But the one thing about that, if you look at Mark Stoops' history, even his good teams have tended not to play well in the opener. You go back to the 2018 team that, won 10 games and beat Penn State in the Citrus Bowl. They were behind at halftime against a pretty bad Central Michigan team. So the fact that, they did come out and, as you said, they threw the ball and, were able to throw the ball deep, which, the fans wanted to see. And I think you made a really big point, the fact that J.J. Weaver was on the field and, recorded two quarterback sacks. He is incredibly important to UK if UK is going to do anything sort of above the norm, because I don't think they have anybody else who can really do what he is physically capable of doing. So if he appears to be way ahead of schedule and returning from a torn ACL, and if that continues to be the case and can play a larger role, I mean, that's huge for Kentucky.
Mark Story with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. We'll get to Indiana and Zach Osterman here coming up in a second. As for to do a little bit of a quick deep dive on Will Levis, I mean, we didn't know anything. It's hard to believe coaches. He does have a massively strong arm. We'll see if it's accurate, but I tell you, it's hard not to say, hey, they found something here. And Mark Stoops has said, well, it feels like we passed 80-90% of the time. I mean, Mark, this guy, poor Stoops is so used to not passing the ball, he doesn't know what a balanced offense even looks like at this point. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's interesting. Levis, I mean, the ball just explodes out of his hand. I mean, I think he has the strongest arm I've ever seen at Kentucky. I would have previously said Jared Lorenzen. If you want to go way, way back, there was a guy in the early 80s, a guy named Glenn Ford, that just had a gun. But I think Levis is probably the strongest arm. Now, the question, the knock on him at Penn State was that he wasn't able to sort of regulate that, that he didn't always show the touch or the accuracy that was needed to succeed. And you could sort of argue that either way off that first game. The slant pattern he threw for the touchdown to Wandale Robinson was a tremendous throw, kind of an intermediate throw. And he made a really good throw to Brendan Bates, you know, a little four-yard touchdown. On the other hand, I thought the first interception to Ali, it came in way too hot and was behind him. You know, Josh probably, you know, was off his hands, but still, I thought the quarterback was more responsible. And then he would have had a touchdown pass on a little swing pass to Chris Rodriguez, but he didn't lead him properly. You know, the thing that, you know, we have to see is against, you know, an SEC caliber defense, can he consistently, you know, make the short and intermediate throws, put the ball where it needs to be in tight windows against good teams.
Former players came out and were like, "Boy, I wish we could have seen this offense other times." Like guys like Bohanna, who you know just left the program, are now in the NFL. What did you make of that? And I guess as an aside, Mark, I mean, I pretty much said, you know, Stoops is the head coach, so I'm not going to dump on Eddie Grand. Stoops had to hit rock bottom over the last year or two to finally make a much-needed move, but I did find it interesting. Former players like, yo, I wish it was like this when I was there.
Yeah, Mike Edwards, you know, pointed out, you know, what would the 2018 team have looked like, you know, if it had had the offense on display, again against a really bad team
Sure. Last
Saturday. You know, I always thought Eddie Grand in a lot of ways did a good job. I mean, if you look at Mark Stoops' record before Eddie Grand got there, it was fairly atrocious. Now, that wasn't all because of the offense, but nevertheless. But, you know, obviously it had reached a point that, you know, last year especially, they just couldn't throw it at all. I mean, they played with 9 or 10 defenders in the box against them pretty much the entire year. And it just got to the point that Mark, you know, obviously felt like he had to do something, and off – you know, one game, the returns, you know, look good so far.
Mark Story with us, Lexington Herald leader. Mark C. Story, if you want to follow him on Twitter, can check out all the stuff there, Kentucky.com. Mark, appreciate the time. Have a good afternoon. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Indiana.
All right, we go to the Hoosiers. We wrap things up with Zach Osterman of the Indy Star and a yuck from the weekend. No one was more embarrassing than Indiana football. 34-6 losers to Iowa. So, Zach, good afternoon. And how surprised were you of that debacle? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would have been surprised if Indiana lost at Iowa. I don't even think anybody would have been surprised if maybe Iowa won, you know, by 10, 11 points. It's tough to go to Kinnick. You know, better teams have gone there and lost by more, frankly, even than what Indiana lost by on Saturday. You know, I think you think as recently as a few years ago when Ohio State, I think, lost by 31 there in a season where I believe they ended with by winning the Fiesta Bowl. But it was, you know, for a team that I think has really kind of made resilience part of its DNA, if you want to say, it was sort of the speed with which it got out of hand for Indiana. There was the early defensive bust that allows the touchdown. Then there's a pick six. And all of a sudden, you sort of feel like Indiana looked up and it had just taken two shots straight to the jaw and didn't really know what to do. And then you can kind of break down the technical elements of it. They couldn't get the run game going. Not terribly surprising against Iowa. They really struggled to get Michael Penix comfortable, which is obviously more of a long-term concern. I thought the defense played well in spurts, and certainly kind of once it settled into the game. But when the game was kind of there, you know, to be gotten back under any measure of control, you still felt like Indiana's defense just couldn't make the kinds of plays that we saw them, in fairness, make, you know, a season ago. Indiana, for example, didn't play very well in its opener last year against Penn State offensively for a lot of that game, but the defense kept making plays that gave it a chance to win. That didn't happen Saturday, and so I think that's where Tom Allen probably kind of assigned this sort of a total system failure.
Michael Penix comes back off the injury, and everything was predicated, well, you know, Indiana could be pretty good here if he can stay healthy. 14 to 31, buck 56, 3 interceptions. That's good for a QBR of 14.3. You mentioned long-term concern. Is it a long-term concern?
I think we've got to get a little bit deeper into the season to know that. I think it was obviously going to be a difficult game for Michael Penix in general. It was a difficult first game back. I mean, you know, I think I saw some IU fans asking why Indiana chose that as an opener in Penix's first game back. You sort of wanted to look at him and say, well, Indiana wasn't really given much choice. The Big Ten told him they'd be playing at Iowa.
right.
But, it, you know, it. I think what was concerning, listen, I don't think you'd blame Michael Penix if he felt it, you know, some hesitancy, if he felt, you know, just a little bit gun-shy, a little bit rusty, all the kind of attendant things after coming off a big injury. I think what was probably more concerning to me is that it didn't feel like, no matter where Indiana tried to go offensively, it did not seem to find anything that got Penix comfortable. Short passes, swing passes, screens, obviously nothing. Not being able to run the football. Nothing got him in rhythm. I think this is a good weekend to maybe find a little bit of that, to tinker with some things, and frankly, maybe turn him loose a little bit against Idaho if you can. Let him feel good about, you know, just kind of the way he's throwing the football again. But whether it's something specific to Penix physically or mentally, or it's something in, you know, him and the scheme not being able to meet up perfectly, that's got to get fixed.
Is the offensive line good enough? You mentioned protecting an often injured quarterback. How was that on Saturday and not being able to run the football? Had to have something.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really great, to be honest. I mean, again, I think offensively in particular, there isn't a lot really to write home about that performance, and I think that Indiana appreciated that. Again, you, when you play Iowa at Iowa, you know what you're going into. And
right.
You know that to win, you're going to have to grind a little bit. And, you know, at some level, I think a lot of breaking down Indiana's performance is probably informed by basically the first two drives of the game just being kind of these back-to-back gut punches. And if Indiana could have just kind of found its feet a little bit quicker, you know, maybe if Penix doesn't have that first pick six, which is just kind of a good pass, maybe not a great pass, but a good pass that's deflected up in the air and then, you know, intercepted and returned, maybe things are different. And so I think it's the other question you basically have is, you know, how much of this is separating Indiana's inherent weaknesses, like, you know, potentially some flaws in its offensive line, from maybe just sort of Indiana just getting swept away in
right.
the game, just getting away from before they can control it. But, you know, getting Michael Penix comfortable, getting him healthy, not actually keeping him healthy, but getting him comfortable, getting him in rhythm, all those different sorts of things, that starts with his offensive line as much as it starts with him. And I think that we will see that unit healthier this weekend. Luke Haggard, who was only available on an emergency basis, will start this weekend, according to Tom Allen. Expect to see him, I'm guessing, at left tackle. And then we'll see what kind of reshuffle that prompts elsewhere along the line. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some more moving parts from there. But, you know, that group was probably the one that needed to improve the most offensively from last season to this season, and obviously it was a rough beginning for them too.
We'll see what happens with Idaho. I say we'll see what happens. There's a chance I don't see much of this game at all, Zach. I got to be honest with you. You'll be covering it. I don't know if Indiana, Idaho will be one, but we shall see. The Hoosiers need to get it going, just like U of L needs to get it going as well in week two. Zach Osterman with the Indy Star, at Zach Osterman if you want to follow him there. Zach, appreciate the time, man. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, there we go. Little blitz on a Thursday. And you had someone come by and give you an L's down.
I know.
How about
that? Yeah. Just,
you're right, feeling good.
Talking some IU football. We're talking a little Michael Penix. Talking a little IU offensive line. And boom, L's down right there. Right in your face. I like it.
Back to back, Jack. You'll like this. Bozich makes me sick. Get Greg Doyle.
Get Greg Doyle.
How about that?
What's wrong with Zach Osterman? He does a fine job. Why is Bozich making you sick? Come on.
I don't know.
He'll be on in 30 minutes, or Dr. Bo.
By the way, Marcus Peters got injured, too.
I just saw that.
For the
Ravens. Yeah, apparently it happened in back-to-back plays.
I mean, these guys are done.
Oh, no.
Did you guys see Ennis's tweet that I sent you?
No, what did Ennis say?
Oh, yeah, about sacrificing a live animal.
Sacrifice a live chicken is what the Baltimore Ravens need to do.
Yeah, I saw the only reason I knew about Marcus Peters because I saw a Biscuit tweet, Marcus Peters 2 in all caps. So, you know, big Ravens fan, biggest Biscuit.
Texas says, spot on about school, ridiculous to have kid up and waiting for a bus before 7 a.m. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
A little bit, you know.
This country doesn't change when they could easily change things, and they don't do it just because it's the way they've always
done
been done.
No, I mean,
and that's not the only thing. There's several things that are like that.
No, there's kids that have to ride buses for like 2 hours at a time, and that's way too long.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. No, I'm with you on that. I don't like getting up at, you know, 5:30 in the morning and having to get ready. It stinks.
Do you ever have a bus girlfriend?
No.
Jack? Jack wants to.
I think you know the answer of that one, and it is no. Yeah,
I mean, there's girls on the bus that, you know, you have a crush on, but I never talked to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I did talk to them a little bit, but nothing.
It was an accident.
Yeah, it wasn't anything like, they didn't approach me. I'll just put it that way. Had to start the conversation. What's
Texas says, is Rick Pitino running the Ravens practice?
Yeah, remember that narrative? Rick Pitino practices too hard. Everyone's getting concussions.
Right.
Yeah, it hurt. Now had to wear a helmet.
Now it's practice is too easy. We're not ready to tackle.
Yeah,
which, by the way, Satterfield disagreed with that.
Oh, yes. He did. He said they were like full contact.
We got a little Satterfield versus Maben.
Yes, we do.
Maben says you haven't been hitting as hard. Satterfield says we are.
No, he said we're going full boat.
How about that?
Yeah. I mean, who's telling the truth here?
That's unbelievable.
Blanky Baker needs to find out. By the way.
What about Blank?
Number
we got to play some of that Issel sound
number
next.
One.
We have Issel sound. That's what I'm teasing.
I can't wait.
Issel sound's coming up next.
After the break.
Issel sound's after
the
break.
I played Blanket Baker Sunday in fantasy football. I'm glad about that. I'm favored in the
I'm already matchup. Done with this league. I got Gus Edwards out. I'm done.
So we were talking about, you know, backups at Kroger Field, like lines backing up because they couldn't get through the cell phones and the tickets. And he sent me a little joke, you know, a little joke on text. I hope we beat them by 70.
I hope we
beat Louisville by 70.
Stunning that the Kentucky fan hopes they blow out Louisville.
Even more now, because, you know, Blake's got his little snide jokes in.
Oh, yeah, that's the motivation. You want to beat the crap out of your rival. I never would have guessed.
This makes it even worse. I mean, I want Satterfield, I mean, not to cry about L's down. I just want him to cry and just crawl off the field like a baby. That's what I want to happen. I want him to be so demoralized that he has to cry like a baby and crawl off the field.
Oh,
that's
Lord
what
heavens.
I want to see. And then I want to see Blank's jokes after that. I want to see he's got Mr. Funny Pants out there. Let's see, you know, Gilbert Gottfried, the comedian out there. Let's see what kind of jokes he's going to have there.
He will have a joke.
It won't matter to me.
He'll say they had a tongue issue or something.
I'll just text him the score over and over and over again.
That's fine.
For every joke he has, he'll be sitting there, man, he'll stop his feet. Stop it, Stabo. Our football programs, we're not used to this. We're one of the top tier programs in the ACC. We need a real coach in here. But you said Gunter Brewer and Satterfield's got to figure it out. Win! I can't wait.
Texas says you guys should start. The Ravens should move Lamar to running back. Well, I think he's going to have to be the running back.
He's got to do everything. He's got to do everything. Running back. He's like Blake Cunningham in the first half of that game where he's going to lead in receptions. He's going to lead in passing. He's going to lead in rushing, just like Blake Cunningham. Because they didn't have anybody else.
I'm not going to read that one, although I want to. Texas says, Jack's mom took him to school. You know he didn't ride a bus. I mean, yeah.
Is that accurate, Jack?
Because my mom worked downtown. I went to Manual, so it's not that far out of the way for her. So she would drop you off. Yeah, she'd drop me off. But then I would take the bus home.
Texas says, did Osterman say someone wasn't going to play unless it was an emergency? The whole damn game was an emergency. Osterman sucks. He's a Scott Dolson puppet.
Scott Dolson puppet? Has anyone ever been called a Scott Dolson puppet?
Jack would love to be that.
He would.
Jack, would you love to be the puppet for Zach Dolson? Or Scott Dolson. Who's Zach Dolson?
I think you
combined Osterman and Dolson.
Yes.
Would you be the puppet for Scott Dolson?
Yeah, I'd be sure. Yes.
All right, there we go.
He'd be the
Texas says the Ravens are gonna sign Latavius Murray. Thank you.
There you go. Man.
Texas says, I saw in the paper today that Taylor Lynch is playing at the Shelbyville Moose Lodge on September the 25th.
Oh, is he? He had that big weekend series at the fair a couple weeks ago. The Taylor Lynch band's getting out and about. I like it.
Texas says, Big Rig acting like Kentucky's an SEC school. Hey, those monies, they cash.
We cash those checks.
Texas says Gilbert Gottfried is a musty reference.
It is. I don't know why Gilbert Gottfried popped in my head. I don't know why him, but it did. I don't know. He's actually pretty funny. You hear about like Howard Stern back in the day. He was funny.
Jack, do you know who Howard Stern is?
I've heard the name, but I couldn't tell you anything that he did.
Hold on a second. No,
that one killed Struble, didn't it?
You being in radio, you don't know who Howard Stern is?
I've heard the name before.
I've heard the name. Yeah. Oh. That might be his worst ever. I'm serious.
I'm not. That's why I asked him. I was confident he didn't know.
I thought he'd at least know. I mean, good grief. Sorry, got Trevor, by the way. He's walking in.
He giving L's down?
No, he didn't.
By the way, we got to get a beer of some kind. What do you want? We got to find out what they have.
Yeah, we got to look and see.
We'll do a little look-see.
Yeah. Man, Howard Stern, dude. I mean,
that's like not knowing Bobby Knight and being an Indiana fan.
Right.
Yeah, it's working in radio. Yeah, it really is.
There's like three guys you should know, he's like number one.
Especially this show, which, you know, you want to rip off things from good shows.
Yeah, and him especially.
Yeah, my left leg's bothered me from that one, and I knew it was coming. And I knew exactly what he was going to say.
I mean, I gave him this much of the benefit of the doubt.
That's fine. You can give back.
And I'm wrong. You're right.
I ain't giving anyone the benefit of the doubt in anything.
No.
I'm still
so are you going to explain who he is, or are you just going to ridicule him?
No,
we're just going to rip
research.
You. Yeah, we're just going to rip you. No, that's exactly what we're doing.
Golly, Jack.
Texas says the Louisville Avengers are going to be starting Javian Hawkins.
Who?
Texas says, does Jack know who Pauly Shore is?
No.
No chance. I mean, 0% chance.
No.
Texas says Struble's a bum.
Thank you. I try my best.
Texas says Struble's a bum. Kellen only likes him because he buys him shoes that cost as much as the twin shoes together.
That's not true.
That is true. No, it's a little bit true.
No, there's nothing true about that. He likes me because I'm his dad.
Our guy Sanderson says Grossman not knowing Howard Stern is worse than Mitch not knowing Denny Crum.
Oh, man.
Man, can we find a way to put that up as a poll question at ESPN 680?
Yeah, which is worse? Jack not knowing Howard Stern or Mitch not knowing Denny Crum as a Louisville fan and Louisville alum. Jackson Radio doesn't know Howard Stern.
We're a bunch of idiots here. I'm not lying.
I'll include myself into that. I say stupid stuff all the time.
You know what's more shocking? Diener went to Dixie Highway today.
Why?
Diener was up by you.
He was?
He was at Huffman.
He should have said hello.
He should have rolled
I'm right
through.
Down the street from Huffman.
He could have popped in, maybe talked to the class.
I know people at Huffman.
You damn right you do.
Yeah, absolutely. You come right on in. We get a little Diener. You come in, talk about media relations and broadcasting. A little tutorial from Drew Diener. They would have loved it. Kids like, who's that?
I'm not reading that one. That one's too far. It's on the edge, and then it went over
like
the
there's
edge.
There's the line, barely over the line.
Let's take a break. 437-9680, explosive Dan Issel sound next.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
We got some hotties next door, though, I'll tell you that.
Oh, do you? What's the situation look like?
God.
Oh, yeah, what's the setup?
And James Strebel.
You got one picked out yet, or are you going to play the field?
No, I haven't really seen all the prospects yet, so I need to go back and rank them when I go back. there are a couple five stars, though, and then also a couple three stars, so we'll see.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Music makes me think of
what?
Like before a big like college football game.
Yeah,
they're like walking in. There he is, Will Levis.
Oh,
walking in.
And that's
to
like the
stadium.
Soundtrack in the background. Yeah. As the camera follows Will Levis,
right?
It's like a handheld. They're like walking, following him. Oh yeah,
DeFace, Florida, at 7:30 at night on the SEC Network.
Texas
damn
says,
right.
How often does Struble wish that Kellen was a twin?
That's a. I, never like
what a haymaker
what a strange thing to say. Never. No, he's the oldest. He's the firstborn, and he's you know, he's on his own. I don't know what that. I mean, what was all to say about that? This is strange.
It is strange.
It's very strange.
No, very
yeah.
strange.
Very strange text.
Okay, so a couple of things here. We're hanging out at the Middletown location of Evergreen Liquors. Come say hello to the show. Our guy Jeremy is here. He bought us a brew. We appreciate him.
Gave us an L's down.
Yeah, he did. He
he's
did. There
fan.
He is. He's
still
a Louisville
did.
Fan.
Yeah.
He's listening
he's
right
listening
now.
Listening right now. He listens
so
every day.
We're very happy
appreciate
about that,
Jeremy.
And we do appreciate that. So come hang out with us. They got not only you know, just this great selection. I mean, we need to get some of these shooters on the way out.
Yeah.
And Strebel Bolt.
Yeah.
You got to keep one in your backpack just,
you know,
in case. Just in case you're in a fantasy football draft, you need you need a little ET. You know?
Or a little, you know, in your cargo shorts pocket.
Or in your cargo shorts.
You know, that's what I would
going
do.
Going into Cardinal Stadium on Saturday. So that's happening. We are out here. The Tailspin Ale Fest, the pre-sale event is ongoing right now, and this is when you are going to get the best deal, and it's right now. So go to TailspinAleFest.com, and right now they have the pre-sale event pricing is the best pricing you are going to get.
It's ridiculous.
You're going to save $10 plus any of the online fees. And so that's a big savings. And the event's coming up on October 30th at Bowman Field. They usually do one in, was it late February?
Early March.
Yeah. And they're doing two this year because of COVID. And October 30th, a Halloween edition. You can buy the general admission ticket. Again, you can buy a VIP ticket. You get in an hour early. And then if, you know, there's a DD, they have DD tickets as well. There's food. There's live music. There's a DJ there. It's the, our show would be very awkward and bad for this, the silent DJs.
Oh, yeah, where you had the headphones.
Yeah, I saw that. We would look funny doing that. Yeah. People do that. Yeah.
I didn't really understand what was going on at first.
What do you mean?
Oh. I'd never heard of this before.
Really?
Yeah.
You know
how.
I know you don't leave the house.
Leave the house, so I'm out, and I'm walking around enjoying some good craft beer, and there's this whole group of younger-looking people with headphones on, and they're just, like, dancing by themselves, and there's no music. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And someone had to explain to me the silent DJ experience. I'd never seen that before. Not something I would do, but if you're into that sort of thing, it'll be at the Tailspin Ale Fest out at Bowman Field October 30th.
Texas says, did Strebel and Entz break up? Entz is airing a ton of Big Rig's Dirty Laundry right now in the Hatfield Discord. Coming down at 437-9680.
Wait a minute. What dirty laundry is he airing?
Well, I don't know. I think it's someone
everything,
playing
everything
joke.
About
oh, okay.
Emily.
I mean.
Very funny, Jack. Emily jokes. Let's get him in.
Texas says, Howard Stern made me a man.
Yeah, me too. He had that show also on the E! Network at like 11 o'clock at night. They'd have back-to-back episodes, 11:30 on, I think, Friday or Saturday night. I used to watch that all the time. It was awesome.
Texas has asked Strebel if he's going to do a bourbon shot with me if I come down there. Damn right.
Yeah, I will. Of course. What are we talking about here?
What
is this? What are we doing?
Okay, Jack, so I'm excited to play some of this stuff. Jack did not hear it live, and I heard it live, and I screeched, Jack, Issel's doing it. Issel's crushing.
He's going at it again.
Issel's crushing. And I don't even know. I'm trying to remember now how we even got into this. I don't even know like how Issel got into
like
it.
Like how did it spark in his brain? Like he's just looking around, seeing Rick Pitino's face?
What's the first clip? Does it have to do with Blank? Is that what it is?
Oh, yes, boy. It does. That's what got him into it.
Okay, I don't know how they got to Blank, but, you know, he was listening to Diener this morning, and Blank made a joke about being an investigative reporter and made a Kentucky joke alongside that.
Of course.
Of course, having no self-awareness about going on with them. And that's the fun for us.
Sure.
But Issel doesn't know any of this. He doesn't understand the game that's going on. He looks at this
the
with
back and forth.
He looks at this with common sense, and it doesn't make sense to him.
So
and
he's confused.
And he's confused. Okay,
yeah.
And we love that. So let's hear this. I don't know what you cut. This was a great discussion in the 11 o'clock hour.
I love
it. Stun Mike Pratt. All right, so let's go.
Pratt
tell us
stunned.
What you have.
So John's on, and I guess he's a investigative reporter.
Yeah.
And they're talking about
that's John Bolt.
Okay.
Maybe hiring Blankenbaker as a third investigative reporter. And Blankenbaker has the gall to say, if I was a investigative reporter, I'd just camp out at Wildcat Lodge. Does he not know that the University of Louisville has FBI people walking around the campus that they're going to go on probation at some point, maybe this century, and you know, for past crimes that they've committed, but that all pales into his suspicion that something illegal is going on. All I can say is UofL is under the gun as far as recruiting violations, and I don't think Kentucky is. So that's my take on Blanket.
Well, he said he was.
I want to hear Pratt.
Yes, Jack always cuts things off at odd times.
I want to hear Pratt
Jack,
say.
I don't know why Jack does that. I've been meaning to ask him, Jack, why do you do that?
Well, it's because I don't want to
know
it's
who
John
Bull
one.
Was.
Well, no,
Pratt
because.
Didn't?
Issel.
No,
oh,
Issel
didn't know. Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
But
okay.
But the issue of that one is Pratt steps over Issel at the end of the sentence.
Texas says, ask Jack if he knows what the man show is.
And Blankenbecker.
Blankenbecker.
So what else do we have?
He, like, Issel's mad. Like, he's not happy.
He's a luminary.
I mean, they're coming at his cats.
Yeah.
Blankenbaker's coming for his cats, and he's fighting back.
The cats.
He's not taking his...
Coming for the cats.
Lying down. All right.
Can I... Wildcat.
I need to get
Wildcat,
something.
I need to get something off
my torn
chest.
Down.
Oh, please.
I need to
get
something
off my chest. Why is Rick Pitino still held... Do these people not realize... Now, you could say, oh, Rick didn't know anything about it. I find that hard to believe. But even if he didn't know anything about it, it was under his guidance and his program that all of these things happened. We still got Rick Pitino's picture in this studio. Not only in the lobby, we got a picture hanging in the conference room. Rick Pitino is the reason Louisville is under this. It's the reason that they can't recruit here. It's the reason that there's no championship banner in Yum Center. Why do we still have a picture of Rick Pitino in the studio?
You know what? Rick Pitino would agree with that.
Because we're cheap.
Rick Pitino would agree with that take.
Oh, man.
I'm not trashing the man. The facts are
that
they're in this situation because of the man. Now, you can try to soft soap that, but that's not the case.
Look at him go. Dan Issel giving me content today at 3 o'clock. Wait till Strebel hears this.
Strebel will love it.
Like Pratt at the end, Strebel. I do love it. I do love it. He's like a jukebox playing all
Strebel will love it.
Yeah, that makes me happy. That he just looked around and saw. And I had a similar thing happen last week, if you remember. We were sitting in the studio. I looked up, and there was a football on the wall in a case, in like a plastic trophy case. And I looked up at the football, and it was a signature pinned by one Bobby Petrino. I love that.
Well,
football.
Here's the thing. We have a lot of outdated stuff.
It's great.
But I don't know what to do. We are to critical mass. We have Locke's picture up there. Jason Anderson's been gone for 2 years. Yeah. We have him up there.
Yeah.
We need a new picture of Mark Ennis. That's fat Mark Ennis.
It's
that's
skinny
up there.
Mark Ennis now.
I don't like the picture of Maben, but we can get into that.
Okay.
We do have a picture of Bobby Petrino, Angel McCautry, and Rick Pitino.
Yeah, all over the place.
I'm staring right into a photo of Andrew Luck right now.
That might be the worst.
Listener of the Midway Rush.
We have an AJ Green somewhere.
Yes.
We have
sure.
AJ Green somewhere.
I'm looking at Andrew Luck and Joey Votto.
Oh my god.
Joey Votto.
Who might be
Votto.
The only player that's still there.
He's still playing. Yeah, he's the one left.
And
American Pharaoh.
Again, the horses don't know their races.
They don't.
Or if they do, American Pharoah was one of the only couple that did.
Him and Secretariat,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
There's a few that might have known, like, hey, I'm actually competing here. I want to win. But, man, that's great. I just love it. Like, Issel just sitting there just looking around and being like, what the
hell? I don't know how they even got into that.
Blank made him mad.
It just had to do with that. Yeah,
yeah. He heard that blank sound.
See, this is the thing.
He got it in his head and was like, I'm going to do this at some point today.
So we need to watch when he gets there at about 9 o'clock, because that means Blank has 20, 30 minutes to get in some haymakers that he knows Issel is going to hear.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Issel's not going to hear at 7:15.
No.
But he might hear at 8:50.
Right. Or 9:20, something like that.
Or 9:15.
It's when the drive is coming, because he's not listening when he's sitting
he's
at the station.
He's not listening at home,
Right.
He's not listening at home, and he's not listening at the station before the show.
That's
so it's
exactly
that 20, 30-minute golden hour that we need.
Texas says, I thought Anderson was just simply on vacation.
it's been a long vacation.
Someone did say something to me. It was in this this UK U of L soccer thing. Mm-hmm. Did you see any of Eric Crawford going back and forth? Eric Crawford nuked State of Louisville today.
Eric Crawford did today?
Yeah, you didn't see any of this?
No, I got to go back and look
Eric
at this.
Eric Crawford did some nuking. Yeah, I had no idea.
Wow.
But you know when the soccer player that got booted from U of L for COVID?
Oh, yeah,
though,
he yells down. He tied up the match.
Even though, you know, the men's basketball team was ruined and the back party and everything else.
Lost
none
four
of that,
games.
None of that matters.
Kyrie's not booting anybody or spending anybody for that.
Nothing happened there. But the soccer players.
Yeah, in the offseason.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, there might be a story coming with that. We'll see if that turns out. I didn't know that U of L just put his stuff in trash bags and set it outside the facility.
Good for him.
For him to go get it. Eric Crawford's like, yeah, that's what happened. And all these people are like, you guys are agenda driven. And anyway, a State of Louisville was in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And Eric Crawford called him a Louisville something, a Louisville account.
A Louisville?
He called him a Louisville account.
EC come with a haymaker. You know, they put his stuff in a trash bag and just left it on the curb.
I like that. Yeah.
And he went out there.
Scored the goal and
Tuesday
popped
night,
down.
And it was like, boom, L's down, take that. In Louisville. I bet he's looking at all those bum fans saying, look at this, I got some.
I think they were cheering for him. I think they were right cheering for him.
I hope they were. I hope the Louisville fans were cheering for him. I hope Tyree sitting there looking at him. He just went, Tyree,
bam. I mean, Tyree's not the soccer game.
Well, that's true. Or the head coach, the Louisville soccer head coach.
What are we doing here?
Even though he didn't have anything to do with it. Good for that. What was his name? Cameron something? Good for Cameron.
I have no idea.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him. I mean,
do we want Issel crushing Lock?
Texter says, hang on. Jared Stillman's live stream is killing me right now, and I'm looking at a picture, and it's him with his sunglasses on, glistening in front of a stadium.
Look at him. He's wearing that pink button-up. Yeah, I guarantee you, he's got a pink button-up shirt. He's got the sleeves rolled up, and he's wearing shorts.
How does TD expect the Titans to distribute the football with all of their weapons? You like TDs, Jack?
You like little TDs?
Of course.
Oh, Nana wasn't listening.
A few TDs. On Sunday. That's what Jared's looking
it's
for.
It's so quiet in here.
Yeah,
right
it is.
Now. It really is. It got so quiet.
I've been screaming a few times.
You have.
Today,
no, you've been yelling.
And,
yeah, you've been screaming.
Not a lot of negative reactions, so I'm glad of that. And I'm not getting a lot of looks. There have been a few people that have kind of looked over here like, huh, what are these
Texas
guys
Texas
says,
doing? Papa John's Pizza is out of Cardinal Stadium. I did not know that.
Really?
Texas says, do Blank sit the trash bags out there? I want to know the guy who had to do that. I need to know. Jack, I need two things from you. What your Nana called Nookie in the 40s, Yiddish. Yep.
Yiddish.
Okay,
yeah.
I need Yiddish, and I need to know this right here.
I wonder if it's
I need to know who had to take this guy's belongings,
put it in trash bags
and lay it on the curb. That's what I need.
It's Officer.
That's
Q.
A divorce.
Yeah, it was a divorce. He's threw your belongings out of the window. Hopefully. Hopefully one day
here
I don't come home.
Comes an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, and all my stuff's, in the yard. Hope that
if your
happens.
Wife were to do that, what would it even be? I don't even know. Like,
just clothes.
My
record player, my Raspberry video game console thing.
What's a Raspberry video game thing? I don't know if I know what that is.
Yeah, it's one of those little consoles that has all the, it's got like all the gaming
all
systems.
The old games? All the old,
yeah, I got everything.
Oh, you got illegally. You got that from China or something?
No. I had someone build it for me.
Really?
Yes. Actually, my wife had someone build it for me for Christmas. That was my Christmas present a few years ago.
Who was that? Would she have billed it for you?
A friend of ours.
I don't like that. She was meeting secretly with somebody. I don't like that.
No.
Was it Ents?
No, it was not.
Ents has got your house bugged. It's like the U of L athletic offices. No. He's listening in.
What if that was the case? I mean, sitting in front of his 18 monitors.
Is that a groan?
A moan? Is it a moan or a groan? Quiet, cat.
Oh, goodness. I'm not going to. The things that come to my mind. Texas says, did Rexy Karma retweet Eric Crawford? That's a great text. If I had anything to give you that wasn't a Reds bobblehead from a player that left them 19 years ago, I would do so.
Yeah.
A quick break. Rick Bozich next.
Oh.